Our scripture reading from the New Testament, from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 10. Jesus responded by telling still more stories. God's kingdom, he said, is like a king who threw a wedding banquet for his son. He sent out servants to call in all the invited guests. And they would not come. He sent out another round of servants, instructing them to tell the guests, "Look, everything is on the table. The prime rib is ready for carving. Come to the feast." They only shrugged their shoulders and went off. One to weed his garden, another to work his shop. And the rest, with nothing better to do, beat up on the messengers and then killed them. The king was outraged and sent his soldiers to destroy those thugs and level their city. And then he told his servants, "We have a wedding banquet all prepared, but no guests. The ones I invited were not up to it. Go out into the busiest intersections in town and invite anyone you find to the banquet." The servants went out on the streets and rounded up everyone they laid eyes on, good and bad, regardless. And so the banquet was on. Every place filled. Here ends scripture. Blessed are they who in our days still seek God's word and God's will for their lives. Brothers, sisters in Christ, the kingdom story that Jesus told is beautiful as it is powerful. It takes us back through the ages. It teaches us much about our Christian faith. See, Jesus said, God's kingdom is like a king who threw a wedding banquet for his son. He sent out servants to call in all the invited guests. However, they would not come. Then he sent out another round of servants, instructing them to tell the guests, "Look, everything is on the table. The prime rib is ready for carving. Come. Come to the feast." Still, they would not come. All of them had all sorts of excuses ready. Now, excuses? Well, if you ask these empty pews, they will tell you some excuses. Why, somebody who could sit there was just not here this morning. Not all of them, of course. Some couldn't be here. But you know, sometimes when you want to sleep late on a Sunday morning, it's easier to think out an excuse than otherwise. That's how I am. I'm not so sure about you. Speaking about excuses, just listen to this. After forgetting his wife's birthday, the husband said, "How can you expect me to remember your birthday? You never look any older." And then there was also the prisoner who told the judge, "Your Honor, it's my wife's fault. She kept whining that she wanted a mink stole for her birthday. All her fault." Excuses. In the story that Jesus told, to the surprise and the dismay of the host, excuses came pouring in from all sides. Excuses, excuses, excuses. To cut through the chase, the invited guests were not coming. That's it. So, in the story of Jesus, the benevolent host was disappointed. He was offended and very unhappy. And therefore, he sent his employees down into one of the worst sections of town. And he said to them, I am going to offer a banquet anyway. Take whoever will come. Poor, rich people, respectable people. Gather the winos, beggars, sick people, whoever you come across. I don't care. I want that dining hall filled for that banquet. You see how it all started. Initially, Jesus invited the religious elite amongst the Jews of his time. Oh, he spoke to them in the temple, even since he was a little boy. Constantly, they refused to listen to him. Finally, they rejected him completely. And then they went a step further. They prosecuted him. And finally, they crucified. They assumed that God's kingdom, justice, and righteousness was theirs anyway. So they looked down on certain people. They created separate classes amongst themselves. They especially rejected those who did not think and believed exactly as they did. Oh, they couldn't stand those who were not circumcised according to Jewish law, or frequenters of the temple. Whatever made them different, for them there was a huge unwelcome sign. You're not welcome here. Made me wonder, really kept me busy for a while, is there something in Cocoa Beach Community Church that may be an unwelcome sign? Things we do, things we say to one another, something that tell people, you will not find Christ there. Is there something, banners that we hang up out without realizing it? You're not welcome here. Have we ever treated someone in such a way that they felt, well, I can't go with that gang? Well, let's go 2,000 years back. Thank God it happened long ago in the story of Jesus. Because the moment when the so-called holy ones rejected Jesus, he went global. He moved out in his days and his followers since then to the end of the world. From Jerusalem, the invitation went out to all the corners of the world. No matter whom you are or where you are welcome here. Now just imagine, all those who accepted the invitation and arrived at the feast had an unforgettable treat waiting on them. And if you look deeper, see who were actually invited. For most of them, that was the very first invitation they ever received in their entire lives. They were used to being the outcasts of the community. They knew that they were not socially acceptable. They understood why they were always left off the invitation lists. Yes, those who were outside alone in the dark knew that they were unwanted, uncelebrated, unappreciated. Now, why them? Why do I seem to harp on this all morning? Why was this ancient feast so very special? And deeper still, why was it such a deadly, serious matter for Jesus? Why was it so important to make it to the table? It lies in the message. Jesus proclaimed God's kingdom with room for everyone. You know, I might be forgiven, but after 46 years in the pulpit and know that this is my second last opportunity to be at communion, I had the privilege throughout my life to bring the gospel to places where very few people ever went. I had the privilege to follow bushmen into the desert, into the Sahara Desert. And there was an interpreter that knew the language. And I heard the privilege that I had to say those words. I heard them spoken in that click-clack of the Bushman tongue in Africa. My mind went back to the privilege I had when I was pastor in Welkom in the Orange Free State, which is the core of the golden city, really, in South Africa. And people from different races, in those days there were 12 different races, how often did I have the privilege to preach to them in my native tongue, Afrikaans, say one sentence, and as I sometimes tell my wife, then all hell broke loose. Because the moment after I completed one full sentence, you could just hear the Tower of Babel, because all the different interpreters over loud, you know, these megaphones, shouted to their tribe in their language. Oh, I've heard 12 languages mixed for the glory of God. What a joy. What a privilege to be able to speak with them, to be part of proclaiming God's kingdom across the globe. I had the rare privilege in Monte Carlo, from where we broadcast in those days, in the Russian language at the time of severe communism. I had the privilege to address all the religious announcers from across the world. They gave me an hour why I had the privilege to proclaim the greatness of our God and how we in Africa were trying to be faithful to the calling. Why all this? That's my message to each one of you. We dare not withhold God's love and blessings from anyone. Through the ages, the true Church of Jesus Christ would consist of people, many who are hurting, many who are lonely, many who are rejected by their hypocritical societies, present at God's feast are those people who are going under in the battle, in their efforts, in their hope to find peace and truth and justice. I know I have about 6-7 opportunities to preach, and then my journey will be over. Don't blame me if I feel deeply serious about it. Ask my wife, what are you going to do after 46 years, every Sunday in the pulpit? I don't know that. But I know one thing for sure. To my dying breath, I will proclaim the greatness of our God, who reached to the ends of the world to touch me and you, so that we could come to the feast, a feast that we're about to celebrate again today. So here's today's invitation. Come to the feast. It is time for a banquet in your life. It is time. Through Jesus, God still offers a place of honor in the kingdom of God for all and everyone. All they needed to do, they had to accept the invitation. They had to cut through their excuses. And then they could arrive at God's table of love and forgiveness. That's why we love to say in our church, no matter who you are or where you are always welcome. And you have now received another invitation to God's richly loaded table. But you know, the invitation includes something. The desire to stand up or to wait to be served has an origin. And that is deep inside what we call our hearts. Deep inside, we must ask ourselves, am I hungry? Am I still thirsty for God's word? Because Jesus also said, O come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You are invited once more. It's time. It is time for a banquet in your life. The prime rib is ready for carving, as Scripture said. Please respond today. Just as I am, you will receive, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief. Because your promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, your love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be yours and yours alone, O Lamb of God, I come. We come now. Amen.